Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late, everybody. Wake up late. Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Kuro's blazing, now you know.
We're the hottest show in the place. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. Wake up late now, everybody. I said one, two, three. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida, it's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
Waking up late. Yeah, man. What a tune.
Dougie show.
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and of course, I'm here with our co-host today, Elgin David.
Yeah, what's up? Good morning, everybody.
Who is the one who produced and put together our new intro song.
Thanks, man. You know what? I felt we needed a new one, you
yeah,
know?
Well,
keep it funky.
Yeah.
And you know, we always love dancing, me and Peter, in the morning.
Yeah,
dancing.
But he's not here, Peter, this morning.
He got stuck in some kind of traffic situation.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We're going to find out what kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
My wife is basically works where she's, I don't know what he's talking about. Everything fine. Well, you know, and there's no traffic. He's been trying to get here for 2 hours. My wife already came back and forth. She went to work and came home before he's still saying he's stuck. He's pulled over. So
right.
I don't know the fuck. We're gonna find out. We're gonna call Peter Landry. You know, yeah, that's a thing. I'm calling him. He's not answering his phone.
Yeah.
I give Elgin Peter's number,
which is funny because I should already have it. But yeah, you give me the number, I call, and he picks up.
Yeah, like two rings, little prick. Anyway, this is the WEI Network and IRN Internet Radio Network, where we come to you Tuesday through Thursday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. This ain't no pussy podcast.
Yeah.
Do all kinds of stuff here. And it's Wednesday. Usually Peter Leonard's here. I mean, God, you know, in all due respect, Peter's been here for like 4 years, and I think he's missed like 2 or 3 days. So
yeah, but he hates missing it, too. He's, you know.
Well, that's why he's full of shit right now. He's making up all kinds of excuses because I don't know what's going on.
Well, maybe he really does have some.
The only thing I understand is if a woman, you know, he was he's with a chick and hadn't been a while, you know,
or he's like escaping from somebody's apartment.
Yeah,
he has no clothes and he's shuffling down the street.
Somebody thought he was a 12-year-old boy and offered him candy.
Halloween's over.
Yeah,
he's trick or treating.
Peter Leonard's out there still with a fucking.
He's trick or treating right now.
Yeah, he's like a ghost.
That's hilarious.
He's got
a sheet over him with two holes in it, and he's
walking
around.
He's got a Nautica sheet over his head. It's like blue and white stripes, and he's a ghost. What do you want me to do? It's the only thing I had. Anyway, right. But dude, that's a great tune, man.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah.
I saw you dancing.
Hell yeah, dude. I was raising the roof. Isn't that raising the roof?
Raising the roof,
right?
Yeah.
I used to be a great dancer, man.
Yeah.
There was a day where my wife and I were dancing on the speakers at Roxy's in Fort Lauderdale, and we were doing the Lambada Grande de la mano. We were, you know what I'm saying? It was actually one night we walked off, we were sitting there, mind you, listeners, this is when I was dashing. This is when I was fighting, and I was, you know. And we get off there, and this couple goes up there, is like, you guys are just too sexy up there. And you're like, oh, thanks.
To stop. My children are here.
Yeah. You can't do this in Publix. In the meat section. Somebody had one of those Facebook, they got this thing on Twitter, like people that forget they're out in the public.
Yeah.
And there's like this one guy finger banging his wife from behind, some big old ass. He's got her hand down her pants at the deli aisle. And he's just going to town.
That's terrible.
Can you imagine? People have no, you know, people just nowadays just have no clue.
Well, somebody got caught, I think, like in a Walmart or something, in a, using a cucumber.
Yeah. Well, we had the story last week. The woman had her with the sausages.
Yeah.
We talked about that. And yesterday we had another story, guy using mayonnaise jars.
What?
Yeah. Well, I tried it. I can understand why he's.
No, you didn't. Shut up.
No, I mean, I imagined it. I did it in a kind of like in an inner world. But, you know, yesterday Julie was here.
Okay.
So she says, how would a guy masturbate with mayonnaise? And
That's
she's picturing
what I'm saying.
Putting it on his hand. I'm like, fuck that. You take the mayonnaise jar and, you know, you basically kablunk, you know,
but
you make love to the mayonnaise jar.
That's weird.
Well, listen, I've never tried it, but I'm just trying to.
You're trying to justify it somehow.
Yeah, and I imagine it wouldn't matter if it's Miracle Whip or.
Okay, what would it take
Hellman's
for that to happen, or for you to have to like, okay,
like use this as a last resort?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Because the normal guy, I'm horny.
Yeah.
All right. So you get your laptop, whatever, and you sit back and, you know, take care of things.
Okay. Let's say that wasn't unavailable.
All right. So there's no technology.
Right.
Now.
So it's like a Walking Dead ish.
Yeah.
Situation. Yeah. Like you'd have to be like in a really, you haven't seen a person in a really long time.
And do I have a home?
Do you have a home?
Do I have a home? Am I homeless?
I don't know.
Yeah, let's make it interest. If I'm homeless and I haven't got laid in a while, I'm really horny.
Right. That's what I'm trying to say.
You know what I mean? I'm looking at my hand and going, I don't even want my dick to touch my hand.
Right.
I mean, look at this cow. You know what I mean? The poor guy, you know?
Yeah, but if you're homeless and you're out there lonely,
right.
You don't have a home and you find a mayonnaise, is your first thing going to be
fuck
masturbate
it.
With
fuck
it?
Fuck it. No, you're going to fuck it.
Or make a sandwich, maybe.
Well, he had no bread. That's the first thing the guy probably said. He goes, well, I don't have any cold cuts.
Oh man.
I don't have any pastrami or anything.
It's the guy with the mayonnaise in the meat aisle with the guy finger banging the lady.
That's right.
That's where they meet up.
He was inspired. He goes, look at that guy finger banging that fat chick.
But I don't
where's
like
the mayonnaise?
Cuts, so where's the mayo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even have a spoon or knife to spread it.
There's some interesting people out there, man.
Listen, I told you. Remember, you know about my room, Elgin. You know about the room.
They're going
you
in
know
there.
About the room.
I know about the
Dougie's
room.
Dougie's room is a room where people go in and never come out.
Right.
You know, people that go in this room or have no social value.
People who need to disappear.
They bring nothing to the table. They're just fucking leeches.
Yes.
Leeches of society that are sucking from the tit. You know, well, and then the worst part is, you know, it's one thing if you get assistance. That's like a student loan. Okay, student loan's assistance, and you go to school and you study, and you know what I'm saying? You get your fucking degree.
Right.
You know, that's honorable. You know, that's assistance. But if you're getting assistance and you're sitting home, you know, fucking mayonnaise jars. you know what I mean? These are people that have no purpose. It's not like, you know, think about it. If that person wasn't here tomorrow, who would go, you know, who would be upset?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. People have no impact on society.
Thank you. That's a good expression.
Yeah.
They have no impact. Not even that. You don't have to, impact's like big. Like, I'm just saying.
You have to do something meaningful that serves a purpose and has a reason to exist.
If you sell shoes, you know, there's somebody have to sit there and size somebody's fucking feet.
That's important.
That's
though.
Your job.
That's important.
I don't know. Does anybody actually still go to a shoe store anymore? Go, hey, I don't know my size.
Can I put
my foot on this thing?
That thing. Those are always the coolest thing to play with as a kid, that little foot measurer.
It was the best thing. That's the only thing you could play with at a fucking shoe store.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my foot in this.
But we always wanted to play with it.
Yeah, and I'd get two, and I'd think I'm like skiing. Like you get two, and the kid, hey, kid, stop playing with that. Okay. Were you a bad kid? Were you a kid who would keep fucking around and say, you know.
I wasn't a bad kid, but I definitely like to have fun as a kid. Yeah.
I saw this video on Facebook. It was funny. It was when, you know, basically it was titled, When the Parents Have No Control of Their Kid. And there was this kid just having this small shopping cart, ramming it.
Yeah.
You saw it?
Yeah, I know.
Ramming it into the person, the guy behind and next in line. And the mother's doing nothing.
Yeah.
She's not like, Johnny, yeah, stop it. And I grab the kid. Now, if that was my kid who was ramming it, I would say, sorry, sir. And I'd grab the cart, move it, and I'd hold the kid sternly by his arm and go, stick. What the fuck? Don't move.
Right.
Right? Stay right there. Don't move. Stand behind me.
Or at least something. You know, you got to tell him, what the hell? You know, what are you doing?
She lets the kid that keeps ramming the cart into this guy.
Right.
Eventually, the guy looks down. You can't hear it. I didn't hear any audio in mine.
No.
But he basically looked to me like he looked down and go, hey, buddy. Hey, you having fun there? And he reaches down and he grabs like milk or chocolate milk.
Yeah.
He goes, oh, this is your chocolate milk? Ooh, that looks good. And he opens up and spills it all over the fucking kid.
Just dumps it on him. And then the mom and the kid leave the store.
Yeah. Mom said, yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's a good video.
That's like a
I wonder if it's real.
But that's like a baby bitch slap. You know what I mean? That's like, you can't bitch slap a baby.
What can you do?
Yeah, you can't bitch slap a baby, but fucking spilling chocolate milk, his favorite chocolate milk all over his face, and you know what? Here's the best part. Do you think that kid's going to remember that?
I mean, I would hope so.
Listen, it's a lot better. He's going to remember that more than his mom say, stop it. Just stop that. You're going to make me mad.
See, yeah,
stop it.
Yeah, somebody has a bit about how they fart on a kid. In the store because he was being bad to his mom. And it's I can't remember who it is, but it's really funny. But it's same local same concept.
Or a national comic.
I think I've heard it on like Pandora or something. Yeah. But anywho, it's the same concept. It's like the parents aren't doing nothing.
I can assure you that kid will remember that.
Right. That's what. Yeah. That's what the whole bit's about.
I'll remember the time just much. I remember the time where we were on Atlantic Boulevard in Margate when I was a kid. Me and a bunch of the local lads.
Right.
And there's like a canal there. It used to be a little bridge, and you'd be able to stand on the embankment of the basically the canal, where the little beach. Anyway, it was like, so you would go down there, and we were punks. We were throwing rocks over as a car drive by. You know, oh, I hit a car. You know, everybody's like, people keep going. Eventually, somebody stops here. Car stops.
Right.
Bunch of older dudes, you know, 20s. Wait, what the hell's going on? Here's me down there in the embankment. Oh. He goes, is you throw the rock? I'm like, no, it wasn't me. It wasn't me. You know, is this your bike? There's my bike on the top of by the bridge. And I go, oh, that wasn't good to leave that there. He goes, is this your bike? No, don't throw that. I got it for Christmas. It was a Huffy. You know, the Huffy motocross bike?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember with the nameplate, the first that came out, the plate, and the, you know.
Yeah.
The special grips.
They threw it off?
Yeah, I threw it off right into the canal. Ask me if I remember that day. I remember that day.
I remember a similar story with me and this kid, Ian, and there was a bridge that goes across East Islip. It goes across Sunrise Highway and in New York, and he was throwing like pieces of glass down out of the fence. So I started doing it, and same thing happened. A car stopped, and the guy started chasing us, and we ran, and I'll never forget that day because as soon as we got back, we watched cartoons like nothing happened.
Right.
And luckily, we got away.
Yeah.
But it was funny.
Yeah.
We used to do shit like that all the time.
But that I remember that. And I can assure you, this kid will remember that day where the guy spilt his chocolate milk all over his face because he was being a little prick.
He'll never forget it.
I guess I was being a little prick then.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then that something like that may alter the kid's behavior.
It's true. He might not even remember or smashing the thing into the guy. He can just say, hey, if one day this guy attacked me and poured milk over me, he might see it differently.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll affect his whole life.
I bet he will if his mother's an enabler. If his mother's like, oh, I can't believe that guy did that to you, Johnny.
Right.
What's the matter with that guy? Is he bad? Yeah, mommy, he's bad. And all of a sudden, that kid's memory will actually reclassify it more in his favor. So over the years, the kid will remember it a whole different way than it happened.
Right.
Much like many of my sexual experiences in college.
It's all perception.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I wonder if Peter Leonard's home.
Yeah, let's find out. Yeah,
because I tried, you know, he answered your call. He wasn't calling me.
Right.
So now it's like, hey, can we call you? You supposedly walked home and left your car because you couldn't drive any further.
So wait, so is that the story? He walked out of his car, left it on the side of the road, and drove home because the roads are closed.
Yeah. That was, you know. Anyway, so I want, you know, let's see if he's.
Yeah, call him. See if he's.
But, you know, here's what this was his text.
Oh, yeah.
Peter Leonard's texting me before the show. Out fucked. And then the second text was, it's a half hour. I'm two blocks from my house. Roads are closed. I'm in park. Turn on the internet and look at this shit.
So he's saying there's proof on the internet.
Yeah, I guess he's telling me there's proof.
Gotcha.
I am pulled off the road. Sorry. Dot, 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 dot. I've never happened this in my life. Dot, dot, dot. It's every direction. It's like a fucking meteor landed on Palmetto Park.
Yeah, I wonder what happened.
Walking home. I'm walking home. So I got out of the car, and it's like
he left it on the 826.
Yeah, it's like Deep Impact when everybody just gets out of the car and starts walking. Walking home, car in front of
a fucking
wife's.
Meteor's coming. Yeah. What happened? Oh no, Pete Leonard might have died in an asteroid.
Peter Leonard, I'm running to the dump. I'm trying to get the high ground.
Oh boy.
Walking home, car in front of your wife's place. Rescue can't get through.
Rescue. Oh wow.
Now,
so something, a big accident must have happened.
You know, well, let's find out. We have Mr. Peter Leonard on the line.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this is the worst morning I've had in my entire life. I got to tell you something. You know, I look forward to Tuesday mornings, Wednesday mornings, Thursday mornings, Friday mornings. You get up, there's nothing. You go out of your house, you get in your car, you drive somewhere. I try to beat traffic. I stay off 95. I look forward to coming to the studio on Wednesday morning.
Yeah.
I got up, and today, I actually was going to stop early and surprise you two idiots and go to Fresh Market I buy like some bagels or donuts because there's never anything in your house except a pot of coffee if your wife bothers to make it before she leaves for work.
Right.
Meantime, I leave my house. You know where I live then. I'm just a little south of Palmetto Park Road off
you live near the train tracks.
Power line. I get out. I'm near the corner where I'm looking. All of a sudden, I see like there's like maybe 10 cars backed up to make the turn to go onto power line without getting technical. I'm like, this is a little unusual. So I sit there for 5 minutes. I finally make the turn, and all I see are cars, every direction, cars, cars, cars. I'm thinking, well, I can scoot through, try to make a U-turn, head south. I can go, I'll be slick. I'll make a left on Palmetto. I'll go down the lines. I'll make that turn. Let me tell you something, man. It took me 20 minutes just to get one block.
So you're telling me, let me get this straight. So you're telling me when you leave your neighborhood, and this is how I would go if I was leaving to go to my own home or studio, I would you have to make a right because you can't make a left.
Right.
So you're saying there was like a backup on that street.
Yes.
Which right off the bat, I would have said, you know what I'm going to do? This doesn't look good. I'm going to turn
it.
No.
Fuck Doug Yalmeida.
Yeah, no. I would, I would turn around.
You know me. Who's more dedicated than Peter Leonard? Three years of this. Listen to me.
All right. Well, listen.
I skipped the World Series game because of you. Seriously.
Have you found anything on
the show? Elgin. Could have flown to New York.
Elgin, have you found anything on the internet about this fucking major catastrophe on Palmetto?
I'm still looking. I haven't found anything.
My wife has been back and forth from her job twice, Peter.
No, she hasn't because guess what? You know where my car is? My car is parked in front of. In fact, I just made an appointment for 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. I walked in and I said, "Is Kaylin still here? I want to make an appointment." I'm like freaking out. I'm pouring sweat.
Right.
I'm aggravated. I'm bleeding through my pores.
Yeah. Okay.
And she said, "Oh no, she left a little while ago." I said, "Well, there's no way she went anywhere." She said we had about 10 people just call us and cancel their appointments for this morning because they can't get down the road.
We have our.
I know. It took me 45 minutes.
We have
my
our
car. I walked home. My car's across the street.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to either walk back there in 2 hours and get my car, or one of my neighbors will drive me and get my car. I couldn't, but I have a 4 o'clock on Saturday. Tell her she better not be drunk by then. Got my hair all screwed up.
Yeah, well, I think for missing out on today, and you know, you missed our new intro song that Elgin put together, which is fantastic.
Well, so. Elgin did something all by himself. That's really good, and I'm happy. I want to hear it. Play it for me again.
Yeah, you listen to the show. You know,
what song is it?
It's from Blurred Lines.
Blurred Lines? I have no idea what that is. What is that? Blurred Lines is when I go to Lens Crafter and get my eye drops in my eyes.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's from, what's his name? Alan Thicke's son?
Robin Thicke.
Robin Thicke.
And
Robin Dick.
Yeah, Robin Thicke, you know.
Okay. You look a little like Robin Dick, Elgin.
Oh, yeah?
I swear, the hair sometimes, when you get your hair cut that really sexy way you do.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
When you shave the sides, you leave a little pompadour on top, you look a little bit half Elvis, half Rosie.
Half, hey, Peter, you don't happen to have a jar of mayonnaise in your hand, do you?
No, I use KY.
All right.
Elgin.
Yes.
How's everything going, bro? I miss seeing you. I'm really sorry I couldn't get there today. How are you?
I'm good. You know, we had a special guest in the studio today. She's sad you're not here.
Yeah, she's this week's feature at.
Not your chick because she's here at my place. Okay, bells inside. What do you want to talk to him? Okay. No, she can't. But listen, she's a big eater, man. She can really eat.
Yeah.
So, what's going on today? How's everything? Do you guys watch the World Series? Wow, how about those Mets really sucking it up? Everybody and their mother, all my New York friends, and I'm a Yankee fan. Oh, the Mets are going to come. Shit, Mets in five. Mets in six. Mets in four. I'm like, yeah, Mets at home in four. They were home in five games, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was over. They only won one game.
Yeah, Murphy. You know what M and Murphy stands for? My bad.
Oh, yeah. You know, he looks like Bill Buckner, man. Everybody's comparing him. Oh, the 86 Mets. Look, they lost the first game by the same score.
Yeah.
They lost the second game by 6 points. And all of a sudden, and then, yeah, they lost the World Series by some dick letting a ball roll under his fucking glove.
Right.
Yeah, that was such a bonehead move.
That was a bad one. And they look like shit, and they deserve to lose, and that's the way it is. But like many of my New York friends, they'll say, hey, they made it to the finals. And, you know, as somebody who lost in the state 4A soccer championships when I was a sophomore in high school, we made it to the finals, and we lost in penalty kick overtime. I could tell you sometimes being second does suck, but at least you were there.
Hey, no one remembers the loser. By the way, Bill Buckner tried to commit suicide after that play in 86. Did you know that? He jumped in front of a fucking car. Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard.
I didn't know that.
Never seen his legs.
All right.
You fucking guys. What else is happening, man? I had a really decent weekend. I walked the beach as usual. It was great.
No one gives a shit, Peter Leonard. Listen.
It was beautiful.
You went to the nude beach?
Elgin, thank God. Listen, this is Elgin weather. You know why? He has a legitimate reason to have his windows open in his car.
It's true. I'm really enjoying it right now. I can't even tell you.
This is kind of like when...
I've been sweating your balls off for the last 4 months with no AC.
Yeah.
How's it going? I forgot you're Puerto Rican, man. You're used to that shit, right?
Yeah.
It sucks regardless.
It's kind of like when we had Hurricane Wilma. We were fortunate. We didn't have power for a week, but it was like in the 50s or 60s that week. You remember?
Yeah, it was cold.
Yeah.
It was That's right. That was sometimes the first, the first couple of days was a little warm, then it got cold, yeah.
All right,
but
Peter.
I was in my pool for 2 days pulling 18 bags of leaves and trees from Terramar Park out of my pool, man.
Yeah, that was the worst one.
Problem I did, man. You didn't have did you have a pool fence, Dougie?
No, I actually had a patio, the screened-in patio, but it all...
You had a screened-in patio.
Could you shut the fuck up and let me talk?
I'm trying to figure it out.
I had a patio screen.
From. Go ahead.
Stop talking over me, you douche. You're a radio guy. You should know this stuff. So I had the wrong number. I had a patio enclosure, and it all had come down, and with it, like you said, tons of leaves. You cannot see the pool, you know, the bottom of the pool through all the. And you have to get one of those. You have to get one of those basketball hoop net things that you put the garden hose on. To suck all the to get you ever use one of those? It looks like a dome and it has a you put a net around it and you put a garden.
No,
hose.
I use a Mexican.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have 17 Mexicans in my pool. They work cheap. I swear to God, it's unbelievable.
Any rate, so listen. I guess you know next week I won't be here, Peter Leonard. So you're going to miss 2 weeks of the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Well, that's not good. We can still talk. I'll be. Let's go. Let's do a segment. Let's go. I'm here for the duration.
All right.
I got to walk across the street when the traffic clears. I swear, I'm telling you, when you people get home tonight, you turn on the news, there had to be, like, some huge catastrophe. I don't know what's going on at Boca Raton.
I'm sure it was
somebody
like...
Russell, you know what? I'll bet... I don't know what happened in Boca. Maybe, I don't know, Mayor's Jewelers had a sale.
All right.
What the fuck happened over here?
All right. Well, we'll figure it out. And meanwhile, on the traffic line, Elgin still hasn't found any type of major... You would think that if the world stopped in Boca Raton, that there'd be some sort of information about it.
Yeah, I don't know.
He probably got high and fucking was stuck in his garage and he didn't even realize, all these cars are not moving. Meanwhile, it's just the mirror. He's looking in the mirror at his own car.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, well, it's a lot funnier than your fucking joke that you brought from 1962, you fucking... Anyway.
Let's give a plug to your wife, Wild Orchid. Go get your hair cut by the beautiful Kaylin. By the way, man, I'm so embarrassed to even say this. I'm not embarrassed because your wife does such a great job, but this chick named Tanya has cut my hair for like 11 years until finally I succumbed 3 years ago to let somebody else cut my hair because, you know, I guess Tanya, her boyfriend bumped her. She's in a bad mood. I left her place one night looking like Edward Scissorhands worked on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I let Kaylin cut my hair, and you can call Wild Orchid. What's the phone number over there, Duncan?
Yeah, I don't know, but continue your story because...
Shut up, man. This is important.
Listen.
She could use the business, no?
Yeah, well, of course. Nobody does. It's not like I'm bringing all the money with the internet radio show.
Anyway, look it up on the internet. Anyway, I let her cut my hair. The girl just blew me away from day one. Anyhow, I bumped into Tanya. I went Friday night to the white party down at the Marriott Harbor Beach for the Winterfest Boat Parade. You know, I'm a big shot now, so I'm with this travel host, so I get to go to these big things.
Yeah, so try to tell the story.
I started a whole fight at the bar at 3030 Ocean. That's a great story. If you have time, man, I had this guy wanted to call the FBI because I walked up to the bar after this thing was over. There was six
All right, hold on
downstairs.
A second. You asked me if I want you to tell me the story. You're telling me a story about...
okay, so anyway,
let's
so
finish the fucking story about the goddamn
she
hairdresser.
She looks at me and goes, your hair looks great. I said, you know, my mother's been sick in New York, and I fly up like every 2 months to see her. And this girl I used to date works in a shop in Manhattan. She cuts my hair for free. I lied like a rug.
Why did you do that?
I lied like the rug on London Lee's Deadhead.
Yeah, like, I don't understand. Why did you lie about that? Why wouldn't you just say...
Well, because I didn't want to... Because after 11 years, you know, it's like...
You would think
it's
that...
It's like divorce. It's like you bump into somebody with your ex-wife and you're with your new wife, you know?
That doesn't give you a lot of credibility, Peter Leonard, where you're going to admit to lying when it makes sense to you.
Well, in a minute, I want to give out her phone number on the air to call her and bug her down. So, you know, who cares? I'm loyal to your wife. She does a great haircut.
Well,
and who cares that she's not dumb enough to leave you already?
Yeah, well, listen, I've been getting my hair cut for her at least 25 years now, so.
Yeah, because it costs you nothing, you know, the cheap Cuban that you are.
Yeah.
Anyway, I want to tell you something. So I go to this white party. Elgin, you're going to love this. I go down, after this thing was over, I went to this event from like 7 till 10. It was great. I go down to this great restaurant at the beautiful Marriott Harbor Beach. And I'm sitting at the bar. Now, I had their chef, Adrian Calvo, on the Food for Thought show. Dougie, in fact, I think they were on when you were on once from Max's Grill or something when
right.
you came to Miser once. Okay, so in the meantime, I'm like loaded. And there were six people at the bar, so I said, hey, I want to buy the bar a drink. Give me a Diet Coke and six straws.
Hmm.
Right? Well, four people left. These two people, this miserable-looking woman and her husband, who was prematurely gray, looked at me with disdain, like disgust, like you do, Doug, when I say, you know, when I interrupt you. And she said, I don't think that's funny. And I said, oh, lady, lighten up. Ask your dad to buy you a cocktail, and that's it. Don't worry about it. Well, they called the manager over.
Oh,
there was a big to-do. The guy walks up to me and says, are you having a problem with anyone at the bar? I said, no, as a matter of fact, I have no problem talking about you guys on the air on the Food for Thought radio show. I happen to have my card. Gave it to him. I said, is Chef Calvo in there tonight? Is Adrian there? Tell her I say hello. What's the problem?
All right, so you came out. Slow the fuck, slow your roll. So you start name dropping, and you bring up, and you go, oh, don't worry about this. I'm going to talk about this on the Food for Thought show, and the people are like, oh, great, no one listens to that. And then,
yeah, exactly. But the riot was that this woman, all of a sudden, now this other chick who's at the with her husband says, hey, I thought the guy was funny. We know who he is, and you're being a jerk. And then the other woman starts in with her, and now there's a brouhaha between these couples. In the meantime, I leave a 20 on the bar, I slip out the side, I get in my car, and I go home.
Captain Chaos.
It was brilliant,
yeah.
You know?
That's funny.
It's drive controversy. You love it.
Yeah, listen, I that's admirable when somebody else steps up to the plate when somebody's being a complete douche.
Yeah.
Right? Now, think about
that.
You know what I mean? How many times does that happen? Most people will, oh, my God, you know, they'll look away. But,
right.
You know, but I think you may have embellished that when they said he's funny. You know, they probably said, well, you're being such a douche. But, you know, why did they take it so personal that you said, you sure that you weren't, do you make other comments prior to the joke? Like, how long were you hanging?
No, none whatsoever.
How long were you hanging around?
My friend was sitting at the bar, Jeff High from IR Radio. He was sitting, this fat buck was sitting there. He thought it was funny as hell, almost, you know, fell off his stool. And the funny thing is, no one else cared. Like, the bartender laughed. And here's the thing. I'll bet the chick was pissed because the guy she was with, her husband, they'd probably come downstairs. He probably spent about 30 seconds before he came. And, you know, they're in the hotel for the first time. She didn't get off. Now they're having a... And she's pissed off.
Yeah, you...
I couldn't care less.
Boy, you're like... You've got it all figured out.
I do. Because, listen, you're in a hotel. There's only two reasons a chick is mad at a guy in a hotel. One, she's a hooker, and he's not paying for it, and that's it. He turned her down. And two, she didn't come, and he did. That's all.
Hmm.
Right, Elgin? How many times have you been in that situation, Elgin?
I've never been in that situation.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Please.
So you're saying every time there's a woman at a bar in a hotel, and she's with
and she's
got that look of disdain on her face, like you said, like she's, like, you know what I mean? She's just like not happy. You know what I mean? Like you said, it could have been that she wanted to buy a Coach purse, and he said no, it's too expensive. So now she's sitting there with a sourpuss in her look.
There you go.
Right.
She wanted the Rolex. He said settle for the Citizens, and boom, there you have it. Good call.
Yeah.
Either way, she was in no mood. And then, she's going to defend the guy because, you know, he looks like her father, and you know, she was no beauty. Believe me, I almost said, you know, I said, listen, don't get offended. I was kidding. I was giving you a compliment because you look like shit. Trust me.
Yeah.
I don't know who's who.
That's what's good about you. You're very subtle. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. Well, I wasn't surprised when you told me that you almost got thrown out of a place. I mean, it wasn't like I could. You know, you're not the kind of guy to, like, obviously to make that kind of comment. It always amazes me when somebody of, like, you know, your stature, you know, likes to mouth off, you know, because, you know, one, you know, I mean, you're, you know, I don't know what your fighting capabilities, but Peter Leonard's got good head of hair, right? He's got a good head of hair, and
right.
He's in good shape, you know what I mean? He's a little taller than Elgin.
A little bit.
And, you know what I mean? But, you know, you could tell, like, he was a collegiate baseball player, you know, he plays tennis, he's physical. I don't know if he knows how to throw a punch.
More
importantly, I don't know what would happen if you punch him, but I could picture what it would happen if I, like, I don't know where I'd thought this up maybe a couple hundred times, but I always visualize things, like, if you're going to fight somebody, right? Like, you always, like, and you and I have almost went to blows here in the station a few times, so I've actually pictured, like, what would happen if you were standing in front of me and you, like, went to throw a punch at me because you got really pissed, and I would picture me, like, you know, like, maybe angling a little bit to the side and then hitting you, you know, with a little counter and then a hook, and I could just picture that hair and those glasses going flying.
Flying.
They'd go flying.
What about my veneers?
No.
They got to come flying, too.
Well, eventually. But I would hit you so hard that all your hair would end up going straight.
Yeah.
And point in the direction from where your face was.
Yeah.
And you would have that stiff, you know, like that stiff Frankenstein, I'm falling over. You know, like you would just hit the ground and you know, your body would kind of like, you know what I mean? Like go like a pole hit the ground and like, you know what I mean?
Right.
And you would just bounce around.
Two things to keep in mind. Number one, if you hit me, my brother would feel it. Number two, if you hit me with the 7 discs fused in my neck, guess what would happen? You'd probably kill me.
Yeah, you wouldn't. It would be not
lights
out.
And then you'd go to jail, and at your weight, you couldn't run from people. All the big black guys would have you as a woman.
Yeah.
And especially with that tushy, that's a nice target.
All right. I guess we all visualize certain things. And that's your choice. So, at any rate.
You're the best, man.
Anyway.
You know, we should do this every week. I'm going to stay home and just call. And
yeah.
I have to look at you. And I'm masturbating and smoking a joint. So, that's the beauty of this whole thing.
Peter's a multitasker.
Yeah, who's holding the phone?
Yeah. I sure am, man.
All right. Well, that's good.
Anyway.
Yes.
Where have you performed lately, man?
I haven't been performing lately. I was in the Florida's Funniest. I didn't make it through. Dougie as well. Didn't make it through either. And I haven't performed since then.
Yeah, that's what the old lady told me, man. She said, Elgin has not been performing lately.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Is she still there?
That's why she said, have you heard her say a word?
She must be upset. She must be really upset, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, right.
Cooking breakfast right now. Something that Dougie wouldn't do for me.
No, of course not. Why would I cook you breakfast, Peter Leonard?
Put a top on if you're making bacon. Put the top on if you're making bacon. Jesus Christ, she's so stupid. Anyway, what else is happening? Anything?
All right. Well, we're going to let you go, buddy.
Why?
Because, you know, I mean, I can hear the cats licking their balls in the back. You know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Any rate, and you're not here. You not being here is just like a voice, and that's just really kind of scary.
I know. I'm sorry, man. I really, if I tell you that what my blood pressure was like this morning leaving the place, and Thursday, I'm already upset because, you know, by the way, I wish me luck tomorrow on my surgery.
What are you getting done?
I'm having the nerves burned out of four discs in my back.
Wow.
So what they do is they go in with like this rod, this little, it looks like a big needle, and then they just hit the nerve, shove some radio frequency through it, zap it, and then go on to the next nerve, and they're doing two on each side of four discs. So that's going to be a nice morning tomorrow.
Wow.
And it was nice knowing you. I love you guys.
Well, that would make sense.
Play with Dougie Show audience. I love you guys. I truly do.
Hey Elgin.
If I don't make it out of this thing, if I end up like a quadriplegic.
I figured him out.
In fact, we'll have a contest. Who gets to wipe me every other Saturday?
Yeah, I bet there are a lot of people in line to sign up for that.
That's the day that my nurse won't be able to come
in. Well, Elgin, I got him figured out. See, that's what happened. He's going in for this procedure tomorrow. That's why this big brouhaha happened on the highway.
Right.
It's not the highway. It's behind. I'm telling you, it's seven seconds from Wild Orchid, where you can get your hair cut by the beautiful Kaylin. Please call.
Wild Orchid in Boca Raton. Anyway, that's it.
What?
So, Wild Orchid in Boca Raton. They get it.
Wild Orchid at 561-395-4247. That's 561-395-4247. Right. Men, women, specialty women, and those color, please see the beautiful Kaylin and tell her that Dougie sent you.
All right, buddy. So, at any rate, so, by the way, if I was you and I realized this was happening, I would have made a U-turn, and I would have went back around the other way and went to Palmetto and headed east to 95 and then taken that way.
Guess what? It was closed.
Oh, okay, everything was fucking closed.
Listen to me, take 95 at 7:40 in the morning, at 8:50, at 7:50 in the morning,
you're
out of your mind. Then.
I think you were
95,
just...
Are you serious?
I think you were stressing and fitzing about your surgery tomorrow, and you're like, and you're running late. Then you realize, oh, I don't want to. I'm always punctual. Now I'm all fucked up. I'm going to just create this incredible disarray of shit going on in Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And
Let me ask you something. I know how much you value a meal. Okay.
All right. Well, right there, your jokes are. You know,
I'm
going
to bet you a dinner. No. I'm going to bet you a dinner that we'll settle this 2 weeks from tonight. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
When you come back from holiday, we reconvene a week from Wednesday. Guess what? You'll have already done your homework. You can ask the beautiful Kaylin if she ever got to work this morning, okay, because every road is closed.
Yeah, she just came back. She said she just got back. She just called me. She just called me from there. She says, I just got here, and somebody said some weirdo came in here all sweaty asking for me.
See that? That's exactly what I had. Covered in grease.
Yeah.
Pushing my car because I ran out of gas.
I think they said you were covered in mayonnaise. So.
Oh, that wasn't mayonnaise. So long, everybody. DNA.
All right. Well, that's we're going to say goodbye to Peter Leonard.
All righty, then.
And we're going to take a break here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Hey, say hi to your dogs, especially the blind one that you really abused.
Part of my new joke is I look at her and go, hey, what are you not looking at?
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, anyway, this is the Wake Up
Late
with...
Why was Helen Keller's leg yellow? Her dog was blind, too.
All right. Anyway, all right, this is...
Buddy.
All right, this
bye,
is...
Elgin.
This is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and I want to thank Peter Leonard. I had to fucking cut him off, otherwise he'd keep talking. And I'm here with Peter Leonard. What a tool. And, of course, Elgin David's here.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with Straight from the Headlines, and we may have Bob Levy call in for a segment of You Know What I'm Saying.
Cool.
We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Peter Leonard. You can join me every Wednesday morning as I co-host on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Ah! And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Those who get to know me either become my friends or my enemy. Adam Ant. I'm here with Elgin David.
Yeah, what's up, everybody?
And we had Peter Leonard on the line because he couldn't make it here.
Yeah, it was different not having him in the studio.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, again, I mean, it was hard to get a word in.
Yeah.
But, you know, you got to let him go.
Storyteller.
Yeah. Anyway, so glad to hear he's all right, at least.
Yeah. I still couldn't find anything in Boca.
No, I'm telling you.
Some traffic in Boca. I couldn't find it.
I'm telling you, he's full of shit. He got really high. He realized he was late. He's probably all nervous and panicking about his surgery tomorrow. Oh, I got to go. What am I going to do? I'm going to live. Ooh, what time is it? Oh, fuck. I better come up with some shit. I'm stuck. I left my car. I had to get out and walk. I said, you know, sometimes... You know, if you're going to lie about something, you don't just go ballistic. I guess there's two ways to do it, right?
I don't know. It was a pretty elaborate story.
You tell an elaborate story, so it's too hard to make up.
He had a lot of details.
Exactly. Or you tell something that's kind of like half true, half, you know, embellished.
Right.
And that's a little more believable sometimes.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm still looking. I'm going to continue to sleuth here. Maybe I can find some clues.
I don't know. Like I said, though, he's earned his acceptance of understanding there. He's been around a long time, Peter Leonard, so, yeah, we don't mind if he runs late a little bit.
Right.
By the way, it's that time anyway.
Straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
That's right. We're going to go over the headlines from around the world.
Yeah, talk
and
about
try
some,
to have fun with it.
Some news.
Yeah. I like, you know, I like doing the headlines because how do I say it? You know, I get jokes from it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much stupid shit that happens around the world.
Every day.
Yeah.
Something new.
Something happens that, you know, it's got to be funny. And I don't know if we have anything today. I pulled some stories, you know, while I was running around, and then when Peter said he couldn't make it, you know.
I found this interesting story.
Well, let's open with this one. And I don't know if we're going to announce it, but it's from the UK.
Okay.
All right? It's from bloody England.
Oh, okay.
All right?
Across the pond.
From across the pond. UK gym teacher had sexual relations with two female students, was caught in bed with both at the same time.
Wow.
I'd like to have been there to seen that.
Wow.
It's a woman teacher.
Wow.
A former gym teacher in England has admitted to having sex with two teenage girls. Lucky you. After she was caught in bed with both of them at the same time. A threesome.
Who caught them?
Yeah.
I want to know who caught
them. The entire graduating class.
The bed was in the school.
Yes. It was in the middle of class, of course. Sadreed Brown, one of the teachers in Finham Park School in Coventry, pleaded guilty on Monday to inciting a child to engage in sexual activity. Wow. And to five charges of sexual activity with a child, the Coventry Telegraph reported. Brown incited one of the girls to engage in a sexual activity, probably scissoring, while she was teaching the girl, who was 13 or 14 at the time. Oof.
That's terrible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my Lord.
You nasty. You're a bad one. The touchy teacher then did the same thing with another student who was 16 or 17. I'm moving up, you know. The twisted threesome romance climax with Brown and both students being found in what might as well have been a threesome. Well, there was three of them, you fucking idiot. Prosecutors Graham Simpson said in court there is evidence that there was an occasion when all three were in bed together, at least as I try to remember it.
Wow.
But no evidence of any sexual activity on that occasion. Brown worked at the school for 3 years before her illegal love affairs. She denied only two charges relating to her with their teens, which were not specified in court. She has yet to be sentenced, but a judge said he's going to watch the video for hours and hours.
The video would not be released.
Yes. I have to approve it first, and I'm going to take it with me for the next 6 months. Deliberate! She has yet to be sentenced, but it involves the breach of trust, yes? Judge Andrew Lockhart said about Brown's extracurricular activities, you know, all the fingering and everything, all the licking.
Wow.
These are often matters of complex relationships which develop over a period of time and become confused, but it's a very serious matter, as she has no doubt been told. 13 and 14, not too good.
She's a gym teacher, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's time to get into change for the class.
Okay, everybody. Well, we only been playing for 5 minutes. Time for the showers.
Locker room.
Yes, everybody.
Why are you in here? Well, I have to shower with the students.
I sweat too, you know. Come over here. I want to show you something. You see that? Well, it's much bigger than mine. Yeah. Well, I have testosterone. And you don't. Let me show you the difference. Put your face against it. Yes, Joe. Yes. I mean, here's the thing. With these students, and there was another story I was reading through in our states where the same thing. It was this fucking hot teacher is getting this, like, these 16, 17-year-old dudes to come over and smoke pot and, you know, bang her.
Yeah. What was the one that the lady wanted to be the cool mom?
Right.
Remember that? So she was, like, banging the daughter's friends and having a party. What the hell is that about?
You know, this is the outcome of? This is the generation that gave birth. This generation learned about sex watching porn. I mean, I'm telling you.
Right.
Right? The generation that is raising children now and teenagers is the same generation that had porn at their disposal.
Right.
Can you imagine what the next generation is going to do after having it on your laptop, your iWatch?
This was also the generation of the MILF.
Yeah.
And the cougar and like that becoming
old. The lady saying, I'm still with it.
An acceptable thing in
and
society.
And Viagra. Right? All this shit.
Young kids don't need Viagra.
No, but I mean the whole sexual thing.
Yeah. I mean, sex has been very publicized and monetized. And it's like, I mean, it's a business.
Now think about society. Not only did it get, like in the old days, you'd watch a TV show and the mom and dad slept in separate beds.
Right. That's how well, and now.
And that, to where we are now. Where not only watch you turning on TV, but there's two guys in bed, or you know, or there's two girls, or you know, there's three, or there's a fucking, you know, big house.
And there's so much more out there option wise to watch as in before it was like 13 channels and you had this many shows, and now it's like thousands of channels, and you have like Cinemax, Skinemax, you know what I mean, and like we just had the Spice Channel back then, remember?
Yeah.
And now it's like on every channel, even on.
Even
regular
on cable
sitcoms.
Channels, yeah.
Yeah, cable channels. Yeah.
Even like what there was like, that one cop show that came out that had some nudity? Remember on regular TV, but it was late. It came on at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh,
NYPD Blue.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? And they had some slight nudity, sexual content.
Right.
Remember the old HBO magazine? You would look at there at night, just your parents were just not home, like, what has nudity, sexual content? You know,
right,
you're like,
right,
holy
right.
fuck, look at this. Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's perverse. And just like in society, okay, like that, you know, okay, you got, you, okay, sex. Now you have sex with a, you know, girl, let's say, all right, this is good. All right, and you're banging all kinds of hot chicks. Like, oh, this is great. Oh, I'm getting blown. You know, all the, wow, two, I'm getting a twosome. Oh, threesome. Oh, you know, okay, now me and a buddy are tag teaming a chick. Oh, great, now there's an orgy. Now, all right, let's do gay sex. Yeah, okay, and that's society's blend. And now it's all the acceptable terms, all for this, you know, explosion of, you know, happiness,
and
we
then
just
it's like
feel good,
and then it's like let's get into a normal relationship with the regular. After all that,
wah, 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 wah.
Like, yeah, that's
welcome
right.
to Spongy Dick.
And that's why nothing lasts anymore.
Right. This is the idea of Pandora's box.
Okay.
If you open it up and you experience all the wealth and joy in like in the microcosm of a moment, then the next day becomes so mundane.
Right.
You can't. I tell the story. My friend's like, oh, I want my girl to sleep with another chick. I've been down that road, and I'm telling you, man. After you come back and you go back to reality, one girl. You know what I mean? I'm telling you.
Right.
Not to mention all the drama that happens, and once you're involved, like guys think it's good, but you think it's one thing dealing with it with what one of your buddies trying to hit on your chick. You try to deal with some lesbian bisexual chick trying to hit on your chick.
And I mean, you went through the ringer. You had to go pick up a chick at the fucking crack house with the gun and all that shit. Like you, if you're gonna get into it, you really fucking picked the one.
That was dedication to
yeah, dude. Yeah.
I paid the price of having that. Listen, I have a lot of memories. I have a lot of memories of that, you know, watching girls.
No, but it's like everybody wants that memory. Yeah. That's going to be like, oh, the moment with, and like, you got the shittiest end of the stick in regards to the
pick. But I'm telling you, every guy who's been down that road,
yeah,
eventually, it's like I told my joke, when you date a stripper, 2 weeks. That's my uncle advice. When you date a stripper, just keep her for 2 weeks, and I don't give a shit how good it's going. It's got to be all done. 10 days, I would even change it to nowadays. Because after that, then the drama builds up. It's fun. You're fucking. You're doing it right. Everything's great. But then, then the drama starts. Oh, then because believe me, there's another round of dudes coming around. And then you go try to pick them up at 2 a.m. and they're not there. Oh, I left. I forgot to call you. Oh, really? You don't want to get to that part. You want to be sitting in a parking lot waiting, and you're the last guy, and the fucking security guard comes out and says, "Hey, buddy, everybody's gone. Sorry to tell you that." There's nobody left. You sure?
You sound like you speak from experience, though.
Man, listen. I'm telling you. If that's what I'm trying to tell everybody. Everybody wants to go after these great things. They think that's what it's going to be. I want this because it seems great. Once you get there, it's great. But then what the fuck is next?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What the fuck is next? I mean, that's one of the reasons I love comedy, because every time I get on stage, it's like that. Right. And it's like, okay, it's just this buildup.
Right.
But what's, I don't mind. What happens if I get on HBO and do a special and I have a TV show and all that shit after? You think I'm going to go back? Oh, what's next? Fuck that. I'll be done. I'll be sitting in a pool in Malibu, and like, oh, whatever. I don't give a fuck. Nobody thinks I'm funny anymore. Go fuck off.
Right.
Right. Anyway, by the way, speaking of that, in comics, people are saying fuck off. Robin Williams, I guess his wife came out.
Okay.
And you comment about suicide, but Robin Williams' widow points to dementia as the potential cause of his suicide.
Right.
Right? Like he knew he was going to start forgetting shit and he said, fuck it.
Oh, really?
Now, here's a guy who, can you imagine everything Robin Williams had been through? Now he's starting to look at his life going, well, it doesn't get much better from here.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's only going to get worse.
And think about that type of pressure mounting in your head going, how much, like me, or let's say a guy who's been sleeping with two or three chicks at a time, and now he's, sitting there going, oh, this is my life now.
Like I've hit my peak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when I played soccer, and then I realized as a goalkeeper, there was one time I flew through the air and I landed and it hurt so bad. I knew right there, I'm not playing fucking soccer anymore, man. I hit the ground like a refrigerator.
Ouch.
And I'm like, I'm not playing. Right there, the minute I hit the ground, I'm like, I am not going to play this anymore.
Yeah.
I'm done. I played enough of this. I played this game since I was 5.
It's crazy. It's crazy when you reach the pinnacle of your, career and something like
that. Or whatever.
Me with dancing. I danced since I was 13 years old. And then one day I tore my ACL on my knee and that was the end of it for me. And it's like, damn, I peaked in that. And that sucks.
But that's the thing. It was an injury, though. It wasn't like you had gone to a certain level, whatever level that was. And then, you know what I mean? And it crescents downward. You know what I mean? And whether it's age or whether it's... By the way, I didn't realize that, but on Facebook the other day, there's Elgin running down at a gymnasium, running and does a fucking aerial, right? Is that what it was?
Well, I did a round-off back tuck.
Round-off back tuck.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow.
I haven't done that in a while.
I tried it.
I haven't done it in years.
Yeah.
But
you landed.
It felt good.
Yeah, you landed. I used to be able to do a half-off, whatever, like jump and then flip back
but
over.
Well, I mean, even that, like, I used to be able to do so much crazy stuff, and it's crazy to see even now.
Did you hurt after you did that? Did you go, ooh, that felt
No, it
fine.
Felt, it felt fine. Right. But at the same time, the other day, I was DJing an event, and even standing for that many hours, my knees were fucking killing me.
Anyway, back to the story. For the first time in more than a year, the widow of the actor Robin Williams is speaking publicly about the circumstances that preceded Mr. Williams' death and sharing details about a disease he had when he died. Interview with People magazine and with ABC News, the widow, Susan Schneider Williams, laid the blame for her husband's suicide in 2014, not through depression, but on diffuse Lewy body dementia. And again, think about that. That plays into that. You like, here's a guy who's had everything. He's a big star. He's a fucking comic. You know, he's a great actor. Look at him. You know, think of all the things this guy did.
Right.
And everything. And now he's sitting in his room going, I can't believe I'm not going to remember, you know. And
right. All the amazing things that I've ever done.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So it's like, I'd rather leave now while I have the memories.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think that way. But I mean, yeah, it wasn't. You know, suicide isn't what killed him. He died from being depressed and having a mental issue.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now think about that. Like, think about how hard it'd be. It's one thing because you're depressed because you're just depressed. Like, oh, I can't find happiness in anything. And, you know, versus here's a person that now. The thing about knowledge is that when you really know something, it's kind of hard to not feel a certain way about it. Okay. Like, I used to say, like, I studied something called NLP. NLP is neuro-linguistic programming. So when you talk with people, you take in everything, whether their body language, the way they say it, how they say it, eye movement, gestures, things like that. And there's another language being spoken, you interpret.
Right.
And then other stuff. So sometimes you'll be talking to somebody and you almost know how they feel about something before they know that you know.
Right.
And, you know, and it's almost like, you know, and you get yourself into situations where you're like, this is going nowhere. It's going, so, you know what I mean? Or, and you know, like, oh, I got to fucking, you know, and it's like that. So here's a guy who knew, fuck, right off the bat. He in his own mind, he probably said, this is the way it's going to be for the next few years. And he said, fuck that. Right. He said, I find out, what am I going to do? He probably said, maybe I'll videotape it. And that would have been a good idea, helping people, you know, actually do something like people suffering from it so they can watch it.
Yeah, you know, like Michael J. Fox is suffering, and he uses it as a public way to tell people about it, spread knowledge.
Did you see him on Jimmy Kimmel?
He was awesome.
Did you see him on that when he came out with
Great
Scott! Marty! I heard 2000.
We're in 2015!
Oh,
Marty.
My God!
Oh, Great Scott!
Yeah, Great Scott! And he looked, you know. But you could tell with the Parkinson's. My father suffered from Parkinson's.
Yeah.
And you could see that he was, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely shows, but he still did a good job.
He did,
you know,
a great, you know. And, you know, and there's, ever since my father had it, like, oh, they have new, they were always talking about new things they had, like trying to put electrodes in the brain to keep, you know, to keep the tremors from happening. And,
right.
You know, listen, my mom had Alzheimer's and dementia. My dad had that. I'm ready looking, you know, every once in a while I'll sit there and I'll watch and see how, because there's little things you could do to see. But I think I forget shit all the time.
Really?
Like, what are we doing? You know what I mean? I mean, I blame it on the weed, of course. Not that.
Yeah, I forget stuff all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, like one of my mentors said to me, he goes, well, you know, Doug, because I asked him, I go, I'm worried about that. He goes, but you are doing a lot. He goes, you know, it's not like you're sitting there one day going, oh, I forgot where I'm, you know.
Right.
You're like running here, you're running there, you're doing this, you're doing that. So if you forget something, it's kind of like, you know.
Right. But you're not just sitting there doing one thing and forgetting, where am I?
Here's another story. Outrage. In Oklahoma, you hear about this story?
No.
Outrage in Oklahoma town after mayor's husband and other residents dress up as members of the Ku Klux Klan.
What?
Yeah. Now, this has happened before, you know, like I think it was Harry, the guy who was on L.A. Law, the main character. He was Harry, I'm trying to remember his name. He was at a Halloween party and had a swastika T-shirt.
Really?
But he was dressed like a punk rocker. So it looks like his costume was like Johnny Rotten, right? Remember from the Sex Pistols?
Right, yeah.
I think that's who he was going with.
Okay.
And that's the kind of shit he would wear, right?
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
That's stupid.
It says here, no one is laughing at his Halloween prank after some residents of an Oklahoma town, including the mayor's husband, dressed up as members of the Ku Klux Klan. A picture of the robed figures are apparently burning crosses in Oklahoma, as he has been heavily circulated on social media in the last several days.
Wow.
Concerned residents Misty Meister, are you kidding me? Spotted people dressed as Ku Klux Klan members.
My name's Misty Meister.
Is this a real story?
I'm telling you, it's off, this is Daily News. picture of the concerned resident Misty Meister dressed as a said they were dressed up as Ku Klux Klan members on Saturday night on Anthony Drive in La Homa and called authorities at approximately 10:20 p.m. She also said she saw a burning cross. Carrie Sharp, the husband of the mayor, Teresa Sharp, said he and his friends dressed in the robes because they believed the prank would be funny. Come on, it's funny. Who could be hurt by this?
That's so terrible.
Sitting around the bonfire and drink a couple of beers. And throughout, my buddy, his last name is White, and the subject got brung up, Carrie Sharp told News. We just thought it'd be something to do, and it's not something to do. I'm embarrassed. I've ashamed my family and friends, and I apologize for that. I'm a dumbass. But at least I didn't cause an error to cause my team to lose the World Series. Now, you know, again, I guess his wife or something is a mayor. I don't know. But, you know, again, it's Halloween. I mean, I always felt on Halloween, you do whatever the fuck you want to do.
But come on, dude. You can't dress up like a Ku Klux Klan.
No,
you
here's the thing.
You can't go in blackface.
Here's the
you
thing.
Can't do.
Here's the thing. You can, but then you have to understand you're going to suffer.
Well, you shouldn't
the consequences.
Do it. You shouldn't do it out of, you know, common decency.
He can.
But, there's a lot of things you can do.
Right.
I can go stab a kitten in the throat, but why would you do that?
Well, there you go.
Exactly.
You have to realize, who can be, now we're in a day where everybody's got a camera and a video camera in their hand. You know what I'm saying? You got news reporters walking everywhere. Here's another story. Tom Jones wants DNA tests to find if he has black ancestry. I don't know what to do. My cock's so big.
What is this about? I don't know. What is this about?
Tom Jones is like a heartthrob. Like he's the women's.
I know. I've been to his studio in Germany at Peppermint Park. Yeah, man.
London, after being told he is just passing as white, Welsh crooner Tom Jones said he's ready to take a DNA test to find out once and for all if he has any black ancestry.
Wow.
The star whose hits include It's Not Unusual to Be Loved With Anyone and Delilah and Sex Bomb is often thought to have black heritage for his booming baritone voice, tight curly hair, olive complexion, and sometimes he runs late. A lot of people still think I'm black. When I first came to America, people who had heard me sing on the radio were surprised, and they thought they were surprised that I was white. Jones was quoted as saying by the Times, when I was born, my mother came out in big dark patches all over her body. They asked if she had any black blood, and she said she didn't know. And I'm going to get my DNA tested. I want to find out, he said. You ever do anything on yourself, like check your ancestry and ancestry.com?
No, I never did any of that. The only thing I probably did was like classmates.com, just see like where people are after graduating. But now there's Facebook, so you don't even need that.
That's stupid. I still get those things like, hey, your classmates are on this. I'm like,
who gives a shit?
Yeah, I don't fucking care.
I'm friends with the ones I need to be on Facebook anyway.
The ones I still,
Yeah.
I mean, think about that. I think I only have like half a dozen.
But I think when classmates.com came out, like I think MySpace was still a thing.
Right.
And but now there's no need for it.
No.
But ancestry.com is cool.
Well, that's different, right?
Yeah. But I've never done it.
Yeah. Here's a story. Woman tries to pet an Omaha zoo tiger and gets bit in the hand.
Oh, the drunk lady who broke into the zoo?
Yeah.
What an idiot.
A woman who broke into the Omaha Zoo was bitten by a tiger when she tried to pet it.
What an asshole.
Oh, look at the little kitty.
How bad did she get hurt, do you think?
The woman, Jacqueline Eddie, 33, was hospitalized at Creighton University Medical Center after being bitten on her left hand. Eda entered the Henry Dorley Zoo and Aquarium after it was closed and reached into a tiger's cage to pet it. A friend took her to the hospital after asking, what the fuck were you thinking?
Her hand was probably mangled.
Yeah. Edie was aggressive towards staff and showed signs of intoxication of alcohol and or drug use. Police spokesman says it was not available to say if Edie would be charged. The hospital spokesman declined to give her condition. Didn't want to tell us what happened. Yeah, that's a bad idea. Once your friend starts saying, hey, let's go into the zoo, it's closed. Nah, that's all right. I mean, think about that. By the way, this was the story of the week. You see that guy and that Uber driver? He got the shit spanked out of him, dude, by the fucking guy.
And then he's fucking sprayed him with mace. Good for him. But what an asshole. Why would you do that?
Yeah. And the best part about it, he's banned forever on Uber.
Nice.
Now, that would suck. Now, I know there's like Lyft and all this, but you know what? That would suck. Could you imagine imagine if Uber's like the only form of fucking transportation, and this fucking guy is permanently banned for life.
And you know what? There are other ones like Lyft and stuff, but everyone's on Uber. Uber's the biggest one. Like, I want to download Lyft and see, because when you click on the Uber app, you can see cars all over the place. You zoom in, you see like, I wonder if Lyft is the same.
Yeah, I'm excited because I'm going to do a lot of traveling. I plan on utilizing these guys.
Dude, it's awesome. Yeah. Have you seen it? Yeah,
I've been
used
on it.
It's great.
Ex-Taco Bell manager accused of assaulting Uber driver charged with 4 misdemeanors. Benjamin Golden, 32, of Newport Beach, is facing 4 misdemeanor counts, including assault on public transportation property, battery on public transit employee with injury, assault, and battery. The Orange County District Courts have filed. The charge stemmed from the Friday incident. Caught on dash cam, where he's seen in an intoxicated state slapping and hitting the 23-year-old driver, who is no longer a fucking driver. I quit. This sucks.
Well, yeah, there's no safety.
My wife said she wanted to do it. She's like, she thought it'd be a good part-time job. I'm like, fuck yeah. You ain't going to drive around picking up fucking people, getting fucking some knucklehead. Oh, my God, you know.
Right.
I don't, you know what I mean? Now, let me ask you this. You think that'd be a dick move if I told her I really wouldn't want her to do that?
I mean, you're concerned with her safety. I don't see there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. I can't tell her what not to do, but I would say I'd be very concerned. I would always be worried.
But you can't tell her not to do it.
Right.
If that's what she wants to do.
Ugh.
But maybe there's some way you could set up like a fucking stun gun situation, zap the dude in the back seat.
Yeah, I'll booby trap the car.
That's what I mean, yeah.
I'll do some special shit.
So if you fuck with the driver, she just has to hit a little button in the steering wheel or something, and it fucking zaps them or locks them in.
It'd be a foot thing. It'd probably be the best.
A foot thing?
Yeah, I would probably put something on
a
the
foot
left.
A foot pedal, right. Yeah, right.
The button trigger on the left. Use your left foot.
And what would be the punishment? Let's think of this contraption. We could build, like, for Uber cars, we could patent it, and all Uber cars come patent with this thing standard. All
right, we would, first of all, you'd have it, the
doors
thing,
lock.
The quickest thing to do would be is the doors would lock, and there would be a like a window that would pop up.
Right.
Like, real quick. It'd have to be quick, like.
Yeah.
And then you just put, like, knockout gas. A little, you know.
What if the window hurt them?
All right, what if the window couldn't be shut? You can't, because then you have that issue. So then you have to use electricity.
No, well, if the window shoots up like really fast, it could chop their fucking hand off.
Well, it wouldn't happen. That's what you worry about, because then if they got his arm in there, then you can't put the gas, because then you're going to smell it.
Well, not even that, but then like they'll probably end up suing Uber and winning somehow, the same way the people sued McDonald's when they burned themselves with the hot coffee.
Yeah, but that's why I thought the gas would be good, because then like they would only pass out and you'd wake up and throw them out. And then,
no, I hear what you're saying, but like, you remember the people, they tried to rob that store and they slipped and got hurt, and then they sued the store and they won.
Yeah.
And they were robbing the fucking store, so we'd have to make it a way that wouldn't hurt them.
Well, that's interesting, because in law, if you're actually committing a felony, you know, your rights are no longer, you lose all kinds of civil rights.
What if some like foam filled up the car and they got trapped inside this like foam that got really hard?
Yeah, like the things like you put underneath the tiles on your roof. Like that would be the most, it would be the most unthreatening thing. Like it would just fill up with like a bunch of, you press a button and all these balls would blow in from the fucking trunk, right? Like it would just fill the, like you're in a ball thing, like in those, you know, things
ball
you jump
pit.
Like a ball pit. You're all of a sudden you're there and the guy's trying to fucking punch you through the ball pit.
No, but just imagine if it filled up with this like this foam. You know when you, like, foam something shut?
Right.
And then it traps them in there. They can't move.
Yeah.
And then the cops have to come and get them.
Yeah. It just encases them.
Right?
You know, the gas thing or electric, you'd have fucking something in the seat where if the guy did that, it'd be just like a fucking, what the fuck? You know what I mean? And then, you know, that's it. Or, you know, but I like just, you seal them in there. And that's it. And they get unruly. You get out of the car, and they're locked in. You call the police, and they're stuck in there.
And then
they're going to fuck your car up.
Yeah, but how about if you make the car in a way that that thing just pops up like an ice cube tray? If they're, you know, the roof of the car comes off, and they can just slide that thing out, and the car's completely clean. Nothing's in there.
All right, so you know what? That or you just get the old James Bond ejection seat.
That's what you need.
Yeah.
They fucking shoot him out.
James Bond. How are you going to pay for this? Fuck you. I'm okay. I'm sorry. What'd you say? Fuck you, dumbass, you fucking Uber driver.
Speaking of which, are you excited for the new one? It's coming out this Friday. The Spectre, the new James Bond movie.
You know, I don't know. I don't.
I am. Yeah. I'm. I like the Daniel Craig James Bond movies.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think it's a good one. The last couple I've seen, but I've lost touch with the James Bond, you know, brand.
Who was your last James Bond?
When I was really watching it, what's his name? Dudley Moore. What the fuck is his name?
Who are you talking about?
I forgot the guy. Spies like, I don't know what the fuck I'm talking
Pierce
about.
Pierce Brosnan?
No, Moonraker. I forgot the guy's name, man. Roger Moore.
Roger Moore.
Yeah, Roger Moore was like, when he used to watch it up in Spies, like, My Spies, whatever, I forgot the name. I'm confusing Spies Like Us and other shows.
So you liked Roger Moore's, not the Sean Connery?
I love Sean Connery. That's right. What I got. That's when I watched it. But right. Then you said when I watched it up to, and then when that, I'm like,
So after Roger Moore.
I kind of lost taste in it because he was like, too, you know, anyway, baby, you know, this doofus kind of fucking guy.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the next couple sucked, right? And then Pierce Brosnan was okay. I didn't really care for him. But then the new guy is great. But by now it's already gone. It's like, I'm no longer a big James Bond fan.
Gotcha. It's lost its hype for
you. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's not the same.
Yeah. It's new. It's a new franchise for you. It's a new generation.
Star Trek is coming out. Didn't they say they're going to have a new come out in 2017 or 16?
Yeah, nerds are freaking out. They're going to have a new TV series.
Can you imagine? Oh, my God. Another reason to stay home and not go on a date. Hey, right. Here's another story. Hey, speaking of internet, I don't know if you noticed this on Twitter.
No.
I noticed this morning. I went to favorite something, and there's no longer the star.
Oh, yeah?
Twitter changed the star to a heart.
Oh, wow.
That's like on Instagram, right? Isn't Instagram, if you like something, it's a heart?
Yeah, put a heart, yep.
It says here, the Twitter's change of heart has users in a tizzy. Twitter has just ditched the star icon that represents favorite tweets and replaced it with a heart that means like. So far, users aren't hearting it on a bit. Quote, you can say a lot with a heart, introducing a new way to show how you feel on Twitter. That was what Twitter tweeted yesterday.
I wonder why they did that.
Yeah. In a blog on Tuesday, Twitter product manager Arkashan Kumar, who's not an Uber driver, wrote, we are changing our star icon for favorites to a heart. We'll be calling them likes. He added that the company decided to swap star for heart after seeing how users embraced hearts in a big way on Periscope. The live video streaming app owned by Twitter, the change also applies on Vine. Does anybody use Vine anymore?
A lot of people do.
Yeah?
Yeah, but it's like whatever.
Twitter's expressed annoyance at noticing the change, with some even threatening to quit using Twitter altogether. Most users seem to prefer having stars upon thars, as Dr. Seuss might say. Whoever thought it would be a good idea to change favorites likes to likes should be fired from Twitter. I don't know. I think it's just, what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly.
Much to do
about
nothing.
People aren't
going to
be talking about it in a week.
Yeah.
It's going to be what it is. And that's that.
That's right. Here's a story. Nearly 60% of Americans, the highest ever, are taking prescription drugs.
Wow.
60% of the population are taking some sort of prescription drugs. This is why. It would explain that most people are killing people, losing their fucking minds, driving them and their kids into fucking rivers, biting people's faces off.
60% of people are getting 60%. Fucked up on drugs.
No wonder the drug industry is going nuts.
And I'm curious, I mean, if they're even not only just taking them that they're prescribed, but some people are snorting them, injecting them, you know, how much of it is illegal? You know what I mean? Are they saying people who are prescribed drugs are 60% of people?
Mm.
Because there's also people who are just getting these drugs illegally.
Right.
Xanax bars, Oxycontins, you know what I mean? Like,
nearly 3 in 5 Americans adults taking prescription drugs, which is up markedly since 2000 because of much higher use of almost every type of medication. Medication from antidepressants, treatments, just drug for everything.
Right.
Everybody, I feel this, I got to do this, I got to feel that, I got to do that. What the fuck? I'm surprised that the drug industry is not really trying to come against the legalization of marijuana. You would think that if people started taking, you know, being able to smoke marijuana, half the depression medication would be stopped being taken, at least. But depressed people would figure out another reason to have to.
Well, there's still a lot of places that don't have medical marijuana, legal marijuana. You know, it's not as popular as it should be.
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, I think
to make a difference in
marijuana has become something now that's like, well, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Who, you know, what's the difference?
Right, but at the same time, you know, it still is very beneficial for people.
Right.
They could probably take that instead of the drugs they're on.
See, that's why people are acting crazy, people. Any rate. Anyway, we're going to take a break, by the way. And I think Elgin's going to cruise, got some things to do.
Yeah, guys.
I'm going to get Bob Levy on the phone, and we have a segment with, you know what I'm saying, with the Rev Bob Levy, and we come right back. All right?
Enjoy,
great song,
enjoy,
great intro
thank
song.
You. Enjoy the rest of your day, guys.
And we'll be back right after this.
Hey, this is Lenny Travis from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Listen every morning or Donald Trump will deport you. You homo.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And now, you know what I'm saying, with the Reverend Bob Levy on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Yeah, that's right. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, and I'm here with the Rev Bob Levy.
Yes, and I just woke up.
Yeah, what a day.
So you are waking up with me.
That's right. And you wake up late with Bob show. Hey, I got a message from Mike at IRN.
Yes.
And he's getting all this feedback, and everybody's wondering, they're saying that we should have some sort of show, which is just you and me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm like, well, I think Bob's doing like 10 shows right now.
Yeah. I'm going to have time for that shit now. I'm working with the vets and that shit, so it's going to be, it's already been full days.
Yeah. You know? And you look at him, he's taking naps in the middle of the day and after waking up from going to bed. And, you know, I mean, listen, that's why you have the You Know What I'm Saying segment. This is what we do. This is where the Wake Up Late with Dougie show merges with the Reverend Bob Levy show.
The Bob Levy show with me, the Reverend Bob Levy, John Kensel, and Joe Conte on RadioMisfits.com. Hey, listen, be happy with what you fucking get, okay?
That's right.
You know?
By the way, we're...
If you like too much, then go fuck a fat chick.
Yeah, you know, Elgin and I were talking about that. We're like, sometimes if you get too much of a good thing, you get depressed because after that, you can't continue like that. Nothing can continue like that. You know, you can't.
Well, I mean, look, if you're getting a good thing, it's a good thing. So you basically got to say, hey, this is a good fucking thing, and you'd be happy with it. I'm not one of those fucking people that need to have everything. You know, I just need the good thing, and I'm happy with it. But most people don't feel happy when they're there because they want more because they're greedy motherfuckers because that's how this country turned out to be.
Right.
I don't play that game, motherfucker. You know what I mean? I wake up, look at my dick and say, thank you, God.
Yeah, well. Some people look down and go, why did you give me a button?
Hey, man, so that's what it is, you know?
Do you think that, you know, because I think I've talked about this on my show before. You think guys that have, like, really small dicks, like, they've got to have really bad self-esteem.
Yeah, well, that's why there's a doctor in Baltimore that can make you a bigger dick.
Is that possible, really? I mean...
Well, I mean, he's been working on me, and I've been the biggest asshole around, so he made me a big dick. No, you're actually out in the day, and most insurance companies cover it.
Yeah, that'd be a funny bit. Yeah, you know, it's like, come to Dr. Stretch and Cough, and he'll make you the biggest dick you've ever seen. Everybody goes in there, next thing you know, he posts shit all over your Facebook, and everybody hates you. You're a real asshole.
Yeah, like, fuck, I didn't order this drink, you cunt. You know, but yeah, you know, look, of course you have to, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's like anything. It's like herpes, you know what I mean? You know, you got to put the lights out quick, you know?
Yeah, you don't want to, like, what are you looking at? Stop looking at it. Just blow it.
Yeah. The fuck?
Put it in your mouth. Stop looking at it. What are you looking for?
People get, you know, of course, you know, people. Imagine a girl with a giant cunt. Like, a pussy is fucking huge, you know what I mean? And she wakes up and the fucking cat's sleeping in it and dragged the litter box in.
Yeah, it looks like two pillows.
Yeah, and two different sides of the room.
Yeah.
You know, it happens, you know, and, you know.
Has anybody seen my glasses? Has anybody seen my glasses? I think they're in your pussy. Oh. There they are.
Look, that happens, you know.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Women want it smaller. Men want it bigger.
What do you mean?
they want their vagina to be smaller.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. They want it, they actually have surgery, right? They have, like, what do they call, revitalizing the vagina?
Yeah, yeah. They wake it up, you know?
Yeah. I thought they, like, sew it together.
I don't know. They want you to know you're in there. It's not like going to a 76ers game.
Yeah, there's plenty of room in here for everybody.
Hey, come on in.
Yeah, how'd that game, by the way? You went to the Cavs. You went to the Cavs 76ers game.
Yeah, it was great. She wasn't feeling good, so we left at halftime when they were getting blown out, and then fucking, you know, LeBron broke the record for the youngest guy to score the most points or whatever, and yeah, we missed all that, you know.
Oh, really?
And of course, we're in the wrong section, right? And, you know, we're off one section. And the guy goes, this is my seat. And she's like, no, this is, you know. She's like thinking that the guy's trying to take our seats.
Right.
Well, she went into this fucking almost fit with him.
A tirade?
Well, it wasn't. It was like, you know, she's like, no, this is five, just five. And they go, and she's like, what section is this? They go 123. And we were in 122. And she goes, I like these seats better anyway.
Yeah, and we're not moving. 20,
yeah, was, yeah. So we moved and to the better seats.
Oh, I got you. Now, who was responsible for finding the seats?
She gets them.
All right. So, in other words, she got the tickets. But who was the one that said, "Here's where we're sitting"? This is.
Oh, she did. I followed her. I don't fucking look at shit. You know.
I got you. So she's sitting there. It's interesting. So obviously you're a little. Now you're obviously, you know, you're sitting back on fuck, right? Because, you know, I know you have a T-shirt that says "I hate people," and. You know, here's a moment where you're realizing that, you know, I'm sitting in the wrong seat. My wife's going to start yelling at this guy like it's his fault.
No. She was kind of like she couldn't believe that we were in the wrong seat. She was more shocked.
Right.
You know, she's going, no, this is, you know, it's like when you're on a plane and somebody, you know, I've done it before. And I go, no, here's my ticket. And he goes, that's the seat up there. And I'm like, oh,
wrong one. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were kind of in, I didn't like that section.
Now, let me ask you a question. You've been on a plane, and somebody asks you if you can switch seats with them?
Yes. And, I've had that happen many times.
Right.
And can I? Because I want to sit with my wife. I go, why would you want to sit with your wife? Look at her. Jesus fucking Christ.
You expect me to sit next to there?
Yeah. What the fuck did I do to you? You know, but no, I always move, you know. I'm easygoing. You know, if it's a 2-hour, 2.5-hour ride, I'll sit in the middle. I don't give a fuck, you know.
Really? So yeah. if you're in a window seat and somebody says, "Would you mind switching with me?" and they got a middle seat, you're going to switch?
Oh no, it has to be a reason. You know what I mean? Not because you're a dick, you know. There has to be, like, you know, say me and my husband, or, you know, whatever. I'm like, who cares? You know, they want to sit together. Everything moves around, and I get the middle seat. Who cares?
No, see, that's the thing. The longer the flight, you know, if it's a 2-hour flight, 3-hour flight, you know, if it's an hour flight, but 2 or 3 hour flight, I'm going to sit in the middle. And you're a big guy, too. You know, I'm big one way, you're big the other way. But, you know, we're big guys. So if you're going
to, you don't have to bring my dick into it. It's just a flight, Doug.
I'm not talking about your dick. I'm talking about your height.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking in my width. You know, I mean, if somebody says, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm ready to put my head up against the window, and, you know, because that's the only time I can really sleep when I'm sitting in a window seat.
And that's very sanitary.
Yeah, well, I put my own, I don't know what the fuck I put up. I put the towel they give me up.
They give you a towel?
Well, they give you a blanket.
Wait a minute, what do you get, a massage parlor fucking plane?
Yeah, Happy Ending Airlines. Hi, I'm your stewardess, Hana. That's not really my name, but in Korean, that means number one.
We're coming for a landing. So is your cum.
Yes. We're coming in for a landing. So put on your pants and wash your balls.
That's a new airline where you can drink on. You see the commercial with that Jennifer Anderson?
I did see that. And here's the amazing part. Now, are those planes foolproof not to have any fucking turbulence? Could you imagine being at the bar, hey, baby, you've been on this flight before, and you hit some severe turbulence, you go flying through the fucking ceiling?
Well, you know, look, whatever happened, they know what's going to happen, you know. So, but the whole thing is, it has everything. It has a shower. I mean, how fucking lazy you got to be to take a shower on a plane, you know what I mean?
Yeah, who takes a shower on the plane?
Yeah, you know?
I'm still amazed at the people that got to take 2 or 3 pisses or whatever they're doing when they get...
When I'm next to a douchebag like that, I can't take it.
right? They, like, I was on a flight one time. This guy got up 2 or 3 times on a 2.5 hour flight. I go, well, you know, dude, I mean, the first time you're like, okay, maybe I was rushing to the airport.
Yeah.
The second time, like, are you fucking kidding me, dude? That's why I like the window seat.
Doug, I just stand up and I go, what, did you shit yourself? And everyone looks at him.
Yeah.
Jeez, the fuck? I'm getting a fucking tailwind off this motherfucker.
You're like Pigpen.
Yeah.
Well, I told you what happened. I told you that's what happened to me in my flight from New Orleans this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I did shows at the casinos in Biloxi. And I'm flying home from New Orleans. And I got bumped up to first class, which was awesome.
Whoa.
And this guy sitting next to me, he's going, wow, somebody's like farting up a storm. And he points at this fat guy sitting in the first seat to the left, big white fat guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, it smells horrid. You know, I'm like, what the fuck? And it keeps happening. It turns out, long story short, the guy shit himself. And he had, I don't know what the fuck was going on. He shit all over the bathroom in the back. We had an emergency landing in Pensacola to get him off the fucking plane.
And that's first class for you.
Yeah. It was first ass.
I mean, unfucking believable.
Right? I finally get on first class, and I got to sit next to Stinky fucking John's. Stinky drawers.
You were sitting in back of shit pants. You know?
I have pictures on my Instagram at Dougie Dangerous if you want to go back a few dozen photos from it. We had an emergency landing. And it was funny because the guy went in the back. He was gone for a while, and the stewardess kept walking by, like, spraying cologne or perfume, which didn't help. It made it worse.
Yeah, you can't mix shit and cologne.
Yeah. Just ask Donald Trump.
Well, watch it. He's going to win.
Yeah, I think he's going to team up with Ben Carson.
Is he? That's what I said.
I think eventually he's going to nominate Ben Carson as his vice president.
Yes.
And what a scary team. It's almost like a weird version of like Lethal Weapon.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I could see that.
Right? I mean, it'd be like, you know, Donald Trump is president of the United States and Ben Carson.
Or the Jeffersons with Willis next door, the Willises.
Yeah.
You know?
How white was the neighbor? And no, did anybody believe in the Jeffersons that goofy-ass bald white guy was banging that tall black lady, their neighbor?
No.
Nobody believed.
You know who our son is in real life?
Who?
Lenny Kravitz.
Oh, that's right.
You see? You learned something on this show, not only about shitting yourself in the fucking first class of a plane, but you fucking learn shit.
See what I'm saying?
Yep. It's always a learning thing. But look, I think Trump's going to win. Look, he's going to help out the vets. And I was trying to get in touch with him today to guarantee him the vet vote. And he actually worked for people in my family. His family did. His mother and father.
Right.
They had a construction business. So they went to his house in Florida and they were fucking with him. But yeah, so I'm going to try to get in touch with him because now I'm a little powerful here.
You're a spokesman for the Wounded Warriors and the...
No, it's Warrior Point. And we are going to... My goal is to be the highest percentage that goes to a fund. I'm going to try to keep it at like 97%.
So out of all the dollars, that 97 cents in every dollar that's collected goes to the actual soldiers. It's benefiting it.
Well, I'm going to blow everybody away.
Well, that would be very impressive because that number would be very hard considering the administration that you would need to collect the asset and fund it. Well, if you get donations, that's an asset. People turn in money, so you have to set up some sort of trust or an account where the monies can be donated. And eventually,
yeah, we have one.
Yeah, but I mean, that, you know, do you think somebody's, you know, for 3 cents on the dollar?
No, it's not like that. You fucking dope. It's going to be big chunks. We get fucking. Listen to me. We have all the forms. We know exactly what to do. Okay, I'm getting my fucking military card or whatever the fuck it is. You know what I mean? That shows that I'm going to be working with them. And basically, you know what I mean? Whatever they fucking, you know, anybody gives, it's a write-off, man. You know what I mean? It's tax-deductible.
I understand all that, but I'm saying I understand your goal because a lot of people don't realize that. Some people donate to certain things and only like 10 cents of it's going. The rest is going to administration, the funding, the collection. you know.
My thing, I got my hands up like Trump. I'm pointing two fingers. My thing is, you can look at our books at any time. We're going to be anywhere from, really, 90 to 100%. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I understand. And you're offering transparency. You're saying that your books, everything from the collections will be true. You'll see everything from where the dollar starts and where it goes. What I'm saying, the logistics of it, that's a very good goal to have 97 cents of every dollar go. But I'm telling you as a man of money that in order for that to happen, once you reach a certain level of creating the money, there's certain things that hinder that.
Like what?
Well, like I said, administrative costs. You got to set up accounts. There's things that got to be done. There's time. There's this. There's that. I mean,
there is the time is for them. Do you understand? This thing is already set up. Their time is already there. It's volunteer. You know, they're going to be working with us, and we are going to bring in the most money and get the most done for the vets that people have done in a long fucking time. And the awareness is the main thing. So shut your fucking mouth there.
I'm just trying to tell you that it's admirable.
I'm just trying to tell you.
It's just admirable. I'm telling you, in order to do that, you got to get a lot of people that are going to be truly volunteers, and they don't want nothing from it, and that's all they care about. And that, so that way, all that money goes to the right person.
Yeah, no, people.
People. A group.
I will be able to know where the money goes to this person, that person. That person would get a dog for this person. You know what I mean? I got many people working for me. I know how to do business. That's why if I owned a comedy club, it would be packed every night. Now I'm going to do it for them and pack it every night. So there.
Shit boy. Don't tell me how to fucking run things, you little schmuck. Hey, listen. I'm a money guy. I'm just trying to tell you that's great. And I think that if you keep it at a certain, you keep it very to the point. You know, like, okay, do a show, that you raise $5,000. Okay, the $5,000 goes into an account. You got to put it away somewhere. And then now you got $5,000. Okay, this soldier just coming back, he needs a dog. Okay, so you go get him a dog. You know, what's the leash and a collar and like soap, and you got to get shots for the dog. And
you know, but they're already fucking trained. I have the thing set up with the dog guy. He's in Florida. So
right.
It's on the website. You go look at it.
Yeah, so they get all. So he donates all that. That's all his and his dime.
He does not donate it. They cost $20,000. These dogs. I'm getting them for $4,000.
Because
he's got to, you know, he's got to work. You know, some people have to work, and it is going to fucking, you know.
So you're saying this guy trains a dog, gets them all prepped. These dogs are like once you find a somebody to donate the dog to, this dog already knows how to sit. It's potty trained. It knows how to.
It's a service dog.
Right.
It's a service dog. He will turn it into a service dog in a month and a half. And first ones needed, it will get. And we're going to go down the line. And it's going to be nonstop of everybody's going to come on board because they're going to see what we're doing. And it's going to take over.
Now, is there certain people that once this happens, do people sign up to get benefits or. Or you look out, you guys like, you know, find people and honor those recipients to like show up at their door, you know, and say, congratulations, you know, we brought you a dog.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a list of everybody who needs help from every group. You know, there's so many different groups out there and, you know, we're going to take care of them, you know, one by one, two by two, three, by, whatever we can do. And, you know, most of it is basically... having the community involved, and that's what's not going on. So I came up with this thing a while ago before they stole the green light idea from me and put it on a commercial where they would have red, you know, like reflectors on their house. So you'd know a vet lives there, and after we leave town, you know, they know where they are. We explain how you want to get them out of the house. You want to, you know what I mean? Sometimes you just need a little hand. That's our thing.
Right.
It's to get awareness out there. And once awareness is out there, you're going to see how many people come running and giving them money to be able to live a normal life and get the help that they need.
Gotcha. So there's part of the plan is to really have these people easy to spot. Like if you're walking down the street, walking your dog, and you see this symbol on the house, a reflector or something.
Yeah, and go over there with dinner and say, hey, my wife made this. Hey, you want to sit and watch the game with me? Hey, you want to go fishing? It's a matter of that. A lot of them are afraid to leave the house, and I'm like that. But can you imagine that 1,000% higher?
Right. So in other words, a lot of people suffering from the war syndrome. Like they're antisocial because of can you imagine being at war for years and then you come back, you've been in a desert, fighting all your fucking last 8 years.
Nobody wants to hire them, dude. And the whole thing is that I got somebody that's going to get involved that basically hires vets, and I'm going to get that all over the country.
Well, that's awesome.
You know, I came up with a fucking plan that is, it's so simple yet so brilliant of me. But, you know, it's just really simple. It's just a simple thing, you know?
Well, anything to help is always good. You know, the veterans, like you said, Trump talks a lot about it. He's got to help, you know. Now, it's interesting because, you know, the veterans kind of in the beginning part of his campaign, when he made that comment about John McCain, mm-hmm. you know, he's not really a hero because he got caught. And, you know, he got some backlash for that. But, you know, as a Trump fan, I kind of understand where he's coming from. He's just trying to be, you know, that's just the guy kind of guy he is. He's trying to be funny about it.
Shot at him. That's it. You know, that's he wants him to say something stupid back. But knowing, you know, from what I know about Trump, from people that work with him, said he is, you know, he's not going to give up his, a smart businessman does not give up his ideas before
right.
they're already done. See, mine are done, okay? Basically, you know, you give up your ideas at the end so no one else goes, yeah, I'm going to do that too, okay? Secondly, Trump never lost money. He always made money even when he went out of business. Okay, so the guy is a genius businessman.
Some people understand that. The people that never really made money on their own and that worked for other people never understand that sometimes when you, like, hey, you had bankruptcies and this and that, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes in that way, that sometimes you end up, it's like poker. Sometimes you fold hands that you think you're going to win with. Sometimes you walk away from the table. That doesn't make you a bad poker player.
Yeah, it's just time to go. You know what I mean?
There's times where things that you're up against an insurmountable force, and sometimes you got to pack it in and say, okay, I'm saving what I can, I'm sheltering, and I'm going to come back and fight another day.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client call me the other day about managing money, like, oh, I'm really tired, my account's down. I'm like, well, you're 40 years old, and it's the beginning of your retirement account. Learn how to, go with the punches. Not every day is a fucking great day.
Yeah, but Doug, you didn't have to punch him in the fucking face.
I know. I didn't want to illustrate that. I'm like, look, sometimes things are bad. Like right now, look.
You see? It could be worse. I could have hit you in the balls.
Yeah. I could have kicked
you
in the
balls. You got to get going because I got to get out of here.
Anyway.
And,
thanks for Bob Lee for joining us here on the, you know what I'm saying? And
be in Florida very soon. Go to RevBobLevy.com. All the dates are up there. And I'll be promoting it on Anthony Cumia's show.
Yeah. When are you going to be on there?
What month is this?
November.
November 10th.
November 10th. So, and by the way, Bob Levy will be in Pompano on November 17th. I'll give you guys the rest of the dates. I'll let Bob go. But thanks again for Bob Levy joining us.
Hey, man, anytime. And stop begging, people. I don't have enough time for you.
All right.
Sorry.
Bob Levy, everybody.
Bye.
Hey, Bob Levy on the Skype line. Admiral, hey, man, you got to donate your time to something, right? Bob Levy could draw people. It's good, veterans, anybody who's sacrificed themselves for the service of our country deserve every bit of a helping hand, and they can respect. Can't judge people that come, people go to battle and war, just like in this country now, there's this thing against cops and hating cops and police and there's, there's a lot of focus on, things that are happening with police and people getting pulled, this and that. But you know what? Like I said, the world's an ugly place. And if you people are going to be cops, believe me, it's not easy. I have friends that are cops. I know cops. I train with cops. I've, You know, listen, every day, getting up every fucking day, having to do that shit, it's got to fuck with you eventually. You know, I always admire the a woman who married a police officer, or anybody who marries a police officer. It's kind of sexist of me to say that, but I admire people, you know, because it's not, you listen, you're married to a police officer. Think about it. It's not easy. It's a hard life. Imagine the spouse. Listen, I mentioned earlier, my wife's thinking about being an Uber driver. I'd be scared of that. I'd be like, oh my God, every time she's out there, I'd be fucking worried. That's the kind of shit that turns your hair gray and fall out. You know what I'm saying? Who got time for that shit? And if you go to war, you know, people that these families of military, people in military, in the service of military, God bless those people. And maybe there'll come a day where we're not going to be needing all this shit, but that day's not happening. You know, Middle East is a big fucking brouhaha right now. And the only way that you can show respect is I stop talking about it, making comments about it by saying, oh, you know, oh, how can we go to war? Why are we at war? Well, fucking stop arguing with people on the street. Everybody suffers from road rage. I was actually, lady cut me off on 95 the other day. Like, I went around her. What am I going to do? Like, you know, she cut me off. I had to turn. I went around and I didn't even look at her because I don't look at people anymore. I'm just shaking my head like, oh my God, the lady almost killed me. And then she comes running around me, giving me the finger. I'm like, what the? I looked at a lady like, you cut me off, and I didn't even look at you, but you're gonna get mad at me. You're gonna give me the finger for being perturbed. This is the same person that's wondering why. Oh my God, they probably go to church on Sunday. Oh Lord, oh, you know, whatever. There's a hypocrisy in this country, and I'm taking tired, but there's hypocrisy in this country, and it's rampant. And the only way it's gonna be turned around is if somebody stands up to it and says, look, man, that's not cool. Like in that video where the guy spilled chocolate milk on the little kid's face. Good for the little peckerhead. Ramming the fucking cart into the guy's back of his legs. Who hasn't had that happen? You're somewhere in a store and this kid's fucking with you. You're like, okay, that's nice. You know, hey, lady, you mind taking care of your kid? Oh, why is it? Yeah, it's bugging me. There's no reason I should have somebody kicking me when I'm waiting in line. But I'll tell you, next time that happens, there's a glass of chocolate milk around or a bottle of chocolate milk. It's going to be dumped on the kid. Speak up. You got friends that are acting like assholes. Don't sit there and ignore it. Tell them, hey, you're being an asshole. Stop being such a douchebag. Anyway, well, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Again, I want to thank Elgin for his great new intro song. And, of course, for joining us today. And to Peter Leonard, we know you're full of shit. Never found out anything that was happening out in Boca Raton. Good luck in your surgery tomorrow. Don't forget, it's Wednesday night, Tavolino's Wise Guys Comedy Show tonight at 8:15 p.m. at Tavolino Della Noto in Coral Springs. I'm your host, along with feature comedian Casey Peruski and, of course, our headliner, Claude Stewart. This Thursday through Saturday, I'll be at Belushi's in Fort Myers, opening for Sam Morrell. And 7:30 show on Thursday, 7:30 and 9:30 Friday and Saturday. Happy birthday to my beautiful wife on Saturday. She looks beautiful, looks better every day. I'm with her, and I thank God that she has tolerated me over all these years. Follow me at Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. Follow me on Instagram at Dougie Dangerous as well. Join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show, and you can follow the show on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Go to wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com and catch all our archive shows, over 400-something episodes. Please subscribe. It's free. We also have a Patreon button if you'd like to donate and help us with the funding of the show. Go to Patreon. You can donate as minimum as $1 a month. How cheap is that? And for $1 a month, you can feed Dougie. That's all I need. Keep the show going. We appreciate anything you could do. Thanks again for listening, guys. We'll be back next week with all new shows. God bless, and we'll see you here next week at the same spot. Sasha plays with Brit. Adolf builds a bonfire. Enrico plays with it. Whistling tunes, we hide in the dunes by the seaside. Whistling tunes, we're kissing baboons in the jungle. It's a knockout. If looks could kill, they probably will. Without frontiers, war without tears.